right, our next speaker is it Holly Little. Holly Little.
Thank you. So what I'm going to present today is some work that was done looking at a commercial formulation of an extract of the brown seaweed Ascophyllum nodosum on yield and some other growth parameters on commercially grown raspberries. This work was actually really done by Robin Roth and Dave Holden. Robin was supposed to present but was unable to come, so I am presenting on her behalf, but it really is their work, not mine. So just a little bit of background on raspberry production. Raspberry production throughout the United States is increasing pretty rapidly, and a lot of that increase is in California. So the acreage and production is increasing in California at about 20% a year. Even though California doesn't have the most acreage of raspberries, it actually produces 60 to 75% of the raspberries in the United States. In 2015, a little under 9,000 acres were harvested, and that 9,000 acres is valued at almost $500 million. So a pretty significant industry for California with pretty large values coming into the economy. Raspberries are typically managed as a biennial crop, but what happens in regards to doing research on raspberries is it's very difficult, particularly under commercial conditions due to multiple harvests and on a commercial scale, multiple pickers coming in at different times, maybe some differences in how they're going to be picking the fruit in addition to a lengthy growing season. If we take a look at seaweeds and seaweed extracts and the history of their use, really, even though we might not think of them as common agricultural inputs, they've been used since antiquity, either directly incorporated into the soil or composted and then incorporated into the soil as a soil amendment, particularly in coastal regions where there's easy access to that resource. If you look in the literature, the earliest reference to seaweed being applied to crops actually is in the second half of the first century. So really dating back and used very historically as a soil amendment supplement to agricultural crops. If we look more specifically at seaweed extracts, so looking at converting this raw seaweed material into a product that can be transported and applied maybe a little bit easier, an alkaline extract of seaweed was produced almost a century ago, and a commercial method for liquefying seaweed for agricultural use was developed in 1949. So there's a lot of experience not only developing these extracts, but also using them in agricultural crops. The species Ascophyllum nodosum is the most studied of the brown seaweeds and is also well studied for use in agriculture. One of the interesting things about the use of seaweed extracts in particular in agriculture is they're used at relatively low rates and rates much below what you would get a response for a nutrient value. They've also historically been used as a natural source of plant growth regulators, but using some advanced technology and measurement techniques, we know that there's really no biological active levels of plant growth regulators in seaweed extracts. So although regulatory bodies don't necessarily like this, really the effect that is seen from seaweed extract is a biostimulant effect. This is from a paper that was published back in 2011 looking at some of the bioactivities that have been reported in the literature for seaweed extracts. I know the title here says in plants and animals. I cut the animal side of it off so that it could be a little bit bigger. But there's also a lot of literature in using seaweeds and seaweed extracts in animals. But particularly in plants, improved plant vigor, root development, chlorophyll, earlier flowering, improved fruit set, improved uniformity, retarding senescence and extending shelf life, improved nutrient quality, stress tolerance, particularly drought, salinity, and frost. Also a lot of work done on biotic stresses. We see a lot of work on fungal and bacterial disease as well. And pest control, so insects, soil nematodes, also see it used as an adjuvant. So seaweed extracts are used for a lot of different purposes, and there's a lot of different reported activities of them. So the objective of this study was to evaluate the effect of a commercial formulation of Ascophyllum nodosum extract on yield of raspberries grown and harvested under commercial conditions. This trial was started in 2015 and continued to harvest in 2017. So this trial was conducted in Camarillo in Ventura County. The variety was a proprietary variety. I do have the name of the variety, and I managed to leave it out of here. I intended to include it, but this version didn't quite get that. Randomized block design. And it was a relatively simple trial with two treatments, a grower standard control, and then a Ascophyllum nodosum extract treatment, which was a KDNLSC. And that treatment had the extract injected into the drip system at 4.6 liters per hectare, or 2 quarts an acre, every 2 weeks, beginning at cutback in October and continuing until harvest was complete in March of the following year. And that came out to approximately 9 applications per season, so regular, consistent applications throughout the season. This is what the trial looked like at initiation in early November of 2015, so after cutback and starting to see some regrowth on these plants. The first set of data I want to share with you is the results looking at 2 spotted spider mites. So we went out and we did some mite counts several times throughout the season. Early on in the season, there were no mites present. So as you would expect, if there's no mites, there's no differences between treatments. Later on in the season, as mite populations started to build, we saw significant differences with reductions in the mite populations on the Acadian-treated plants compared to the control. So if I took out the data where there were no mites because it was just a lot of white space on the screen, but at every point where we saw above essentially 1 mite per cane, we saw these significant differences, and we saw this consistently in both years. This is particularly important in raspberries because it's known that 2 spotted spider mite populations, even at relatively low levels of infestation, can significantly reduce yield potential to the grower. So even at seemingly low levels, they're very impactful on the productivity of those plants. The other thing that we looked at was the reproductive structures in the last foot of cane. So this is including fruit, flowers, as well as receptacles that were left over from fruit that was previously picked. So looking at sort of that yield potential in the last foot of cane, and what we saw here was in both years there were differences. In 2016, it was relatively minor. If you use a 0.1 for a p-value, you can come up with a significant difference. In 2017, we found a significant difference at a 0.05 p-value there, with a higher number of reproductive structures on the Acadian treated compared to the control. Although we didn't specifically measure the internode spacing and the internode length, we believe that there was an increase in the number of nodes per foot of cane, and that's where this is coming from. So you can see that looking at these pictures, the treated plants are just a little bit fuller and there's more growth there. So here on the left we have the control plants, and this is after 3 applications, so approximately 6 weeks after the initiation of the trial. The Acadian treated here on the right, where you can just see simply a lot more growth, look a lot more fuller, and you can sort of visualize that there might be a lot more nodes there and branching where we would see those reproductive structures. So when we take a look at yield, in both years we saw increased yield in the Acadian treated compared to the control, beginning at the first harvest and continuing through all of the picks. In 2016, although we did see numerical differences in yield at out every pick and throughout the season, it wasn't significantly different until the end of the season looking at the cumulative yield. In 2017, similar trend where we saw increases in yield throughout the season, significant differences early on in the season, not necessarily later in the season, but consistent numerical increases throughout every pick in the entire season. In addition, there were no significant differences or even numerical differences in bricks at any point throughout the season. Although numerically the Acadian treated did have higher bricks, but not significantly different. So even though there was higher yield, not seeing any negative effect on bricks. If we put some numbers to that, specifically looking at total and marketable yield as well as grower return. We can see looking at trays per hectare in 2016, approximately 1,300 more trays in the treated compared to the control. 2017, about 857. And then if you look at what that means to grower return, looking at the average price to the grower at the time of each pick and taking away the harvest cooling and transport costs, in 2016, the return to the grower was almost $23,000 a hectare, and in 2017, a little over $11,000. So some pretty significant increases in return to the grower, and that goes back to this being raspberries being a very high-value crop. So what might be seemingly minor differences in yield, although these are pretty big differences in yield, really have a significant impact, and the cost of the application program is, of course, nowhere near that. So in conclusion, what we saw was that a seasonal application program of Acadian LSE increased plant health, resulting in fewer two-spotted spider mites as populations built up throughout the season. Applications of Acadian LSE increased the fruit and reproductive structures per foot of cane, likely due to shorter internodes and an increase in the nodes where those fruits and flowers can form. And the increase in fruit density resulted in greater yields without affecting bricks in both years, which resulted in increased returns to the growers. As we continue this trial next year, we're going to really get more evaluations looking at that node spacing to determine where that yield increase is coming from. And an additional thing we want to look at is some of the flavor and quality parameters. I was down in Mexico working with a grower for the same company here, and they were telling me, and they were doing a trial on the same product, and they were telling me that the ladies in the packing house noticed a difference in the flavor of the fruit as they were coming in. So that's another parameter we'll be evaluating in the future. With that, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. Yeah, so I'm going to answer those separately. The first question is, what's the cost of the application to the grower? This application program, the cost of the product is going to be $15 to $20 an application to the grower. So 9 applications in this program. The application cost of injecting it into the irrigation system, of course, will depend on the grower's equipment and things like that, but are relatively minor. So total, you know, you're looking at it for the whole season, less than $150 to the grower. Per acre. So, yeah, that's a per acre. I apologize, working with, you know, grower mindset, right? And then the second question was if this product can be applied as a foliar as well. So this product is labeled for use as both a foliar or a soil applied product. It's a completely soluble product. So there's really no debris in there that can clog drip emitters or spray nozzles or anything like that. What we find is depending on the particular grower application and use, as well as the desired benefits, will affect what type of a application program that a grower wants to use. Yes. So the question is if this product is a supplement to an existing fertilizer program or if it's a replacement. Essentially, it's a supplement, although what we do find is enhanced uptake of nutrients. So depending on the specific situation, it can result in reduced use of nutrition. That wasn't addressed at all in this study, but we do have other studies and publications where we do look at that.
in the back.
So the question is if this is certified as an organic product. This particular product is not certified organic. Because of the carbohydrates and some of those compounds in the extract, it needs a preservative, and preservatives are not allowed in organic fertilizers. We do have a sister product to this. It is an organic, organically certified product that does not have the preservative, and it undergoes some more sterile process, as well as adjusting the pH to account for that. So is that time? Okay. One more question. Was there another one? Yes. So the question is if other chemicals were used to control two spotted spider mites throughout the experiment. That's a good question. I do not know the answer to that. Across both treatments, the grower standard practices were used, and I don't specifically have that. I could certainly find that out for you, though. Thank you.